Hey, I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor at East Lake, and today we're going to talk about a story in the Bible about a man named Joshua and what he could teach us about faith. How do we follow? How do we follow God? So grab your notes. Let me tell you his story. Joshua, actually, his story begins with a man named Moses, and you know, most people have heard his name. Moses goes way back, a couple thousand years ago. You've probably seen the movies about Moses. And Moses is Hebrew, and Moses is a slave in Egypt. And he's a little tiny baby, and by a series of miracles, he ends up being one of the children of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so he grows up in the Pharaoh's household, and by a strange course of events, he ends up being thrown out of the country, and he's put out into the desert, and that's where the story happens about the burning bush. And so I'm just sort of Reader's Digest condensing it for you. The burning bush happens, and Moses sees it, and God tells Moses, who's just a shepherd now, to go back to Egypt, and he's going to free all the Hebrew slaves. And so that's the first time in the story where God says something and someone has to choose to believe. And they have quite an argument. And by the way, if you've ever felt like you need to argue with God, just go ahead because he can handle it. I mean, they have it like a full-on discussion and then it becomes an argument. And finally, the Lord is able to convince Moses to go back to Egypt. And you've seen the movie, there's all the miracles that happen, and his staff turns into a snake, and finally all the Hebrews are released. And they go through the Red Sea, and the sea opens up, and it's awesome in the movies, and all the Egyptian soldiers get killed. And Joshua is a Hebrew slave. He's a young man when he meets Moses, and he shows such promise in his ability to believe that Moses makes Joshua second in command. And so off they go. Now, in this story, the famous part is when they leave Egypt, but really getting out of Egypt was just part of it. The biggest part of it was they were going to get their own nation, their own land. God had said there's going to be a promised land for you to go to. And so it was like sometimes when you want something to happen in your life and you hit an obstacle and you get through the obstacle, you think, man, it's over. But it's not over because the obstacle is just something you have to get through to get what you really want. And so off they go, all these people, a million of them, and Moses has got them. And just as they're about to go into the promised land, they're right there. They're just in the moment. God has been faithful. They get scared. And they don't think they can do it. And they forget all the different things that God did for them, which is easy to do. I mean, there's giant cities and giant people and huge, ginormous armies. And they get there and they decide to not even try. It's when you think, I'm going to go back to school, I'm really going to do it, and you go see the counselor and you get everything in motion, the student loans are in place and everything's there, and just as you're about ready to do it, you look down the road and see the 2 or 3 years of study and you decide, well, I'm not even going to try. Or you're going to go to the interview for the job that you've always wanted, and you just think, this time I'm doing it, and even buy a special dress or like a tie, and you're all ready, and you practice, and you practice, and you practice, and the day of the interview comes, and you go to do it, and you're like, I'll never be able to get it. Or you're going to reconcile a relationship with somebody. You know it's been jacked up for a long time, and this time you're going to do it. You're really going to do it. You're going over there. You're going to talk to them. And you get in your car, and you start to go down the road, and all of a sudden you just think, I'm not even going to try. It happens. It's everyday life. And so here they are. They're standing right at the threshold, and the entire group decides, I'm not even going to try. And God does what he'll do sometimes. He says, okay. And just as Moses is about to die, and can you imagine his life? He's been with these people all this time, with them, all these miracles, all these things. He's got to be heartbroken. He's like, dang, just when we were about to do it. You'll go through that as a parent or a friend sometimes. You're just like, oh, don't stop now. But they did. And God tells him, put Joshua in charge. I'm sure Moses said, phew. Put the dude in charge, man. I'm done with this people. And now here comes Joshua. And 40 years go by. Do you know sometimes when you miss an opportunity, it can be a while before another one comes. 40 years go by. A whole new generation have come up. And here's Joshua now, pretty older now. And it's time now. The opportunity's back. It's approaching. They get another chance. That's Joshua. Now, Joshua, he's sort of like camouflage guy. If he lived today, he'd have like tons of guns at his house, and he'd be watching all the sort of military stuff, and he'd be like a CNN guy because he was that type of guy. He was a general. So the first thing he does is put together like a task force. He puts together a group of men, and he sends them into the promised land to spy it out. It's his like special forces group, and they go over there, and they look at the whole thing, and they come back, and look at the report that they bring Moses. Check this out. Look in the top of your notes. They come back and they said to Joshua, this is Joshua now, they said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And so special forces come back and says, "Now is the time. This is happening. I mean, I am not playing. I mean, get everybody together. They're all afraid of us. They don't even want to fight us. I mean, get." And so this is the story now, Joshua, we're going to look at today. They're all ready to go. They're going to go into the land. And before they even get started, they hit a stop called the Jordan River. They're camped on one side, and there's a river between them and the promised land. It's a 10-feet deep river, and they're all, I mean, you're just getting ready. I mean, when is the last time you had major decision? I'm going to do it this time, I'm going to do it this time. And before you even get started, you get stopped. That's what happens. And God tells them what to do. That's what our story is going to be about today. He tells them exactly what to do. And right in your notes, the big idea, faith is doing what God says. He tells them, he says exactly what's going to happen. He tells them that they're going to be able to cross over this river. And let's read this first part. "The Lord told Joshua, 'Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there.'" So think about it now. Joshua, he's in charge. He's seen Moses. He's like, "God, we have a problem before we even get started." And God says, "Don't worry about a thing. All you have to do is have the people march into the river. That's it." And I'm sure Joshua is thinking, "God, can't you just build a bridge? Or could we have some boats or some rafts or something? I mean, what are you talking about? And carry the ark?" I mean, you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember the ark? I mean, this is a pretty good-sized box, and it's got poles on it, and there's these gold things. This is heavy. It's like, "Oh, carry the big box into the river." He's like, "Right, God. I mean, oh, super plan, God. I mean, when's the last time you thought God was saying something to you and it gave you pause? Like, that can't possibly be the plan. That's the devil. You're talking to me. I want to hear from you, God. That can't be the plan." And this ark, here's why they had that. The ark was the way to remind people that God was with them. Because, you know, you've noticed this. God's invisible and he's easy to forget. It's very easy to forget God and not remember that he's with me. I'm from out in the country, so back up in the farms, and there was this old farmer, this rancher, and this guy walked up to his ranch one day, and he says, "Hey, what's the name of that dog?" And that old farmer says, "What is the name of that flower with all those thorns on it and everything?" And the guy says, "Well, that's Rose." And that old farmer yells to his wife, "Rose, what's the name of this dog?" Of course, maybe not that bad, but we do forget things that you'd think you never could forget. God does something in your life, and you can forget all about it. Joshua knows that. He was there when they walked through the Red Sea. And I'm sure when they were walking through the Red Sea, just like when we have something really big happen in our life, I'm sure we say, just like that, "I'll never forget this," but we can. And God doesn't scold them. He doesn't angry at them or anything. He says, "Here, listen to this. This is a principle to know about Jesus. He doesn't scold us, he supports us. He realizes that we forget. So he says, let's build a big, huge gold box, and when you see the box, you'll remember. Oh, the only reason anybody would be carrying that thing is to remind them that God's here." And so here's what happens. He says, "Take the box and go into the river first," which that's a principle too, that if I put Jesus first in my life, everything looks different. So if you're facing a challenge, there's something you want to see occur, and as you start to move to it, it says, that'll never happen. If you put Jesus first in your life, it will always look different. And so here they are. Now Joshua, he does an odd thing. He doesn't keep it to himself. He goes and tells all the people. So he calls a big, huge meeting, and he says, "Okay, this is what God said to do." Let's read it. He says, "When the priests," he's talking now, Joshua, he announces this, "when the priests who are carrying the ark touch the water with their feet, The river will stop flowing as though held back by a dam and will pile up as though against an invisible wall. So not only now is he the type of person that has to hear God say something really super strange, he's the leader that has to tell everybody else it's really super strange. And I'm sure they're thinking, like, Joshua, what are you smoking? I mean, no chance is that going to happen. An invisible dam? Yeah, right. Who put this guy in charge? And he announces it to all of them. Do you know what? If you walk with Jesus, at some point, he's going to have you say something to someone, and it's going to seem outrageous to them. It's going to come into your head, and you're going to think that you're supposed to go say it to him, and you're going to think, I'm not saying that. You tell them that. You told me that. Tell them that. I don't want to say that. And off he goes. I was doing some premarital counseling one time with this couple, and I really liked these guys, and was talking with them. And so as I'm talking to them, and I hope this doesn't step on your toes, but if it does, it does. I told them, I said, hey, listen, before you get married, I mean, you know, part of it is just being right before God and just wait until you get married to have sex. And I know that's super hard, I understand, but you're going to be so much better and glad if you do. And so I just put it out there. I didn't really want to say it. I don't like telling people that, but I was like, hey, listen, this is really going to work for you. And so the guy looks at me, and I said, yeah, that means you too. And he's like, I mean, it was physical. He literally looked shocked. I said, so, you know, you got about 3 months to go, and bro, just don't have sex with her. And I thought like he had, like, sat on something on his butt or something. I was like, he says, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? I mean, who does that? And I said, well, I did, for one. Lots of people do. Not that long, you'll make it. But it was outrageous to him. You know how come? This is what happens to me. Sometimes I'll go a long time where I live my life, even though I follow Jesus and I love Jesus and I know he loves me, but it's like I'm not like connected to him. And then when I hear something about the way he wants me to live, it just seems outrageous. It happened when I first became a Christ follower. It happens now. I sort of wander away a little bit. And then someone will say something to me and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not doing that. And so here he goes now. And that will happen to you sometime. Don't shy away from that. You live through it. Your job is just to say it. And it's like I did. And what they do, they do. So here this guy now, Joshua, goes and he says to him, says, here's what's going to happen. Now listen to what happens, because this is interesting. Look in your notes. We'll read the rest of the story, because this is kind of cool. So now it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing all its banks. So now there's a flood. So this is really crazy. But as the people set out to cross the river, and as the feet of the priest who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, encircle the word suddenly. Far up the river at the city of Adam, near Zarethan, the water began piling up as though against a dam. And the water below that point flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was empty. Now listen, you got to check this out, okay? Because here's what's happening. I mean, this is pretty crazy. Just recap it. Okay, we're going to do it this time. We're going to go into the land, and it's going to be awesome. And, the special forces came back, and they got their guns and their scopes and everything. And this is going to be great. We're going to win. And then someone raises his hand. Maybe a little kid says, how are we crossing the river? And they're like, damn, how are we, you know? And so then God tells Joshua, oh, no problem. Just get the ark and just walk into the river and everything will be fine. And I'm sure everybody thought, who put him in charge? He's not going to lead us to victory. And then he says, come on, we're going to do it. And so can you imagine? They have the ark and here's the priest. At that point, you're not thrilled about having been called into the ministry. Because you have a hold of the ark and you're walking step by step and there's the river coming and every step it's getting in a little closer and you're probably starting to drag your feet a little bit. The guys in front are going, come on, man. And you're like, well, I don't see anything happening with the river. And can you imagine when they were 10 feet away? They're 10 feet away from the river and they're thinking, what did Joshua say again? I don't see anything happening. Do you see anything happening to the water? And the crowd, they're probably looking at it going, see anything happening? I told you the dude was on crack. I mean, he's nuts. And so he's got to be crazy. And they're looking, and here they come a little closer. Now they're 5 feet away, and they've got the ark. And it's like getting heavy, and they're sweating. They're like, oh, man, my mom's going to be so pissed at me. And they're walking, and they get a little closer, and nothing's happening. Nothing. So sometimes when you're moving towards what God wants you to do, you get closer and closer and closer and closer, and nothing happens. And you're like, throw me a bone, something. I'm starting to doubt. And that's normal. There was probably lots of things going through their head. When you have children and they grow up, they're so cute at first when they lay in their little bassinet. You don't mind wiping their butts. They're so cute. And then they turn like two and you're like, why'd I do this? I shouldn't have done it. But you want to have sex, so you have another one, which is stupid. Pretty soon you have like four of them running around. They're little demons and they're just everywhere. And they're so cute. Then they become like 10 or 11. Mark Twain said, put them in a barrel and put a top on it, nail it shut. Don't let them out. Feed them through a hole. When they turn 13, he said, plug up the hole. Because you're not seeing anything that you want to see. You're like, are they ever going to get married and move out and be good kids and everything? Like, what's going to happen here, you know? And so they're getting closer and they're getting closer and closer. And nothing, nothing, nothing is happening. Nothing. And then they finally take that last step. They're just like, and suddenly. And that's how it always is. You wait and you wait and you wonder and you doubt and you're there and you're thinking, is God going to do it? Is God going to do it? I'm going to be so embarrassed. He's going to be ridiculous. And then there's all the steps to get there, and then there's the step. Because that's what God said. He says, when your feet touch that water at the river's edge, and suddenly. Sometimes God waits to the last minute because he wants to build our faith. Because he has something planned for our future, and we'll need more faith when we get there. This isn't about crossing the river for them. This is about those huge cities and those giants and all those armies. And they're going to need more faith in the future for that all to happen for them. And when you're going towards the river and nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, it's building your faith for something that God wants to do in your future. Now let's look at the rest of it here, as the story goes. It says, then all the people crossed at a spot where the river was close to the city of Jericho, high walls, the first one they have to whoop, and the priests who were carrying the ark stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan and waited as all the people passed by. So here we see it now. Here we see it, two miracles. The river parts, you know, okay, that's a miracle, but on dry ground. Now, can you imagine, you're thinking in your mind as the river parts, you're like, he did it. The river actually stopped. But what if that's all there was? And as you start marching across that river and the mud's about this thick, and you can hardly get through it, and the little kids are like, we're in quicksand, I'm melting, and the babies are crying, and the animals are freaking out and pooping, and this thing's a mess, and there's mud every place. Because you were thinking, what God's going to do is he's going to make the water stop. It would have never occurred to you or me that I needed to be on dry ground. God does two miracles. Now catch this. This is important. God never matches my faith. He exceeds it. I maybe had some faith. I'm thinking, okay, all right, okay, he's going to stop the water. But that he exceeds my faith because he knows everything I need. If my kids could just get seized this time, I'd be so happy. And they come home and the teacher says, this week they were so quiet in class and respectful. And you're like, there is a God. Because God never just matches my faith. He exceeds it. What are you hoping God will do? You believe he can do anything and you're hoping for it and you're hoping for it and you're hoping for it. Let me give you something comforting. He'll do more. Because you need more than you even know that you need. And he won't match your faith. He'll exceed your faith. So keep reading. Here's what happens. This is where it takes a really interesting twist in the story. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, so he's talking again, remember, faith doing what God says, to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." And so God understands, you know what? As crazy as this is, they're going to forget. So I want you to go into the river and each person take out a dry stone and bring it back. Which seems pretty childish and simple and kind of baby. Like at that point, you might be tempted to say, "Come on, God, cut me a little slack. Like I'm really going to forget this. You're going to bring a rattle with it too?" Because it feels like that sometimes when God says things. It's like, "Come on, Lord, I know better than that." He wants to set a little boundaries in your life. Boundaries. Don't go over by that girl at all. Don't talk to her. Don't, you know, stay away from her. You're like, "Come on, Lord. I can handle that. I'm not a baby." And God says, "Well, I'm not talking about whether you're a baby or not. I'm talking about you needing to know that I can exceed your faith. Because in the future, you're going to need to remember. When you fight all those battles, and you start to wonder, is God going to come through for me? You're going to need to look back at a pile of stones and go, oh, that's right. That's right. Stopping a river and making the ground dry. That's the God that I serve." And so here's what happens. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder so everybody can see it." And sometimes you need that to be seen by everybody. Don't sneak around and try to be all like a Jesus person. "Well, I'm going to let all my friends and everybody think that I'm just like them, but I'll sort of keep it undercover so nobody knows, and I'll kind of play both sides of the fence. Everybody I work with and my friends will think I'm party boy, but my church people will think that you're one of us, and that's not what's happening." He's got it like up here. "I'm one of the ones." I don't know who that's for, but just let it go out. "Pick up stone, carry it on your shoulder, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial." And memorials are places that we visit to get the facts. Because as time goes by and times go by and times go by, it gets more and more blurry and more and more blurry. Did God really stop that river? Are you sure there just wasn't a strong wind? I thought that ground was a little more muddy than dry. Did God really, really, really tell me to put in for this promotion? I mean, did I really, really hear that? I mean, really? I mean, am I really supposed to break up with this guy? He's so cute. He's got the cutest little... He's just cute. Really? Was that God, really? Because as time goes by, it gets awful blurry. And you need a memorial to come back to in your life. Because at memorials, they have all the facts. I was in Washington, D.C., and I saw the great memorial there of all the Vietnam vets. And, you know, you look back on that time in history, and it just gets blurry. Was it so bad? Was it really? And then you stand in front of that wall, and you look at it, and you go, dang. A lot of brave people gave their life. There's a lot of stuff that happened there. There's a lot of stuff still happening. It's easy when you see someone on the corner with their sign, "Vietnam vet, I need help," to go, get a job. Do you know when I stood in front of that wall, it just sort of, I was like, hold on a minute. Because it brings all the facts back. And we need memorials. And so he says, go in, get the rocks, carry them out, set them down, and we'll have a memorial. Now let me tell you something. You have to help God build a memorial, though. They didn't wake up in the morning and all of a sudden look out and go, wow, look at what God built. Look at those lights, and it's cool. I think I saw an angel. They helped God build it. They carried the rock out. One guy might have even thought to himself, whoo, I passed by that rock. I remember that green stuff on it. You help God build memorials. They just don't show up in your life. When you have to sit with your children and talk them through difficult topics, you build a memorial of that. It just doesn't happen. They just don't end up knowing about girls and cheating in school and how to stay out of fights and when they need to fight, because sometimes they will. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You just don't all of a sudden end up a great husband or a great boyfriend. You don't become a worshiper by just walking into this room. Those things just don't happen. You build those things with God. So you take your first little step out to sing, and all of a sudden you feel something different in your spirit, in your soul. You're like, really? I thought these guys were just putting on a show up here. I told you I did a funeral for a great friend of mine a while back. It was just a little while back, and his name was Bill. I remember the first time he came into church. He comes rolling in. He's got his oxygen tank behind him, and I don't know that Bill had hardly any skin that didn't have a tattoo on it. I mean, if you wanted to do dot to dot, you'd spend a week on him. I mean, this brother had lots of tattoos, and he came in, and at first, I could just tell he was like, we'll see about this place, you know. And then a little bit gradually, the music pulls him in. And I'm sure at some point, because the week before his funeral, I was standing in front of him. And he was singing. And I just had a glimpse of it right then. I was just like, gosh, I remember when he walked in. He wasn't even sure. But he built a memorial. He built it. You build memorials through your choices and your actions and how you live your life. And there's lots of them that God wants to build with you. Which ones are they? What choices are you struggling with and you're wondering, should I do that, should I not? That's your opportunity to carry a rock out and build a memorial. So when you hit the next one, you'll go, oh man, when I followed God that time, when I did what God told me to do, this is what turned out. I'm sure there was lots of Sundays when Bill would roll up here and he was just like, am I actually at church again? But he kept coming. He kept coming. Building a memorial. Now look how it all ends here. Look on the other side. Then Joshua said to the Israelites. So now he tells them something. He says what it's all about. He says, then he said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, and catch this. This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. Circle that. Right before your eyes. And he kept it dry until you were all across. So this is what it means. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm having you build a memorial because when I do stuff right before your eyes, you'll still forget. And when you forget, you'll lose your faith. And I don't want you to do that. In religion, you get punished when you do something that you're not supposed to do. But in God's family, you get supported. You don't get scolded. He anticipates it. He says, I know you saw it with your own eyes. And listen, as crazy as this sounds, you're gonna forget. But that's okay, because I have a plan to help you, to support you. Now let's look at a couple takeaways for us as a church too. Right, number one, take a step. I'm going to talk just a little bit about Eastlake, and we'll apply a few things. One of the things we've discovered at Eastlake Church is that in Utah, it's just very different to meet in a public place like this. And so about a year ago or so, we decided we're going to find a building. So we had this vision, because at Eastlake we have a vision of a church for everyone. That's our vision. So we thought, okay, we're going to find a building. So we went out and we searched 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 and we searched, and we finally found this perfect spot. It's like 3 blocks from here on 5600, just south, and it's the perfect place for us. And so this is going to be the place, and this is going to be great. So we get a hold of the owner, and we talk with the owner. He says, oh, we'd love for you guys to move in here. So then we make our offer. We get everything together we possibly can. We stretch as far as we can go, and we make our offer to this guy, and we're sitting in this building, and I'm thinking, here it goes. And he looks at me, and he says, you will never get this place with an offer like that. Have you ever been like really, really super high and then really, really super low? All of a sudden you're inch high, private eye. Because let me tell you, I was really, really low. Because I was expecting him to say, this is fantastic. Here's the keys. Instead he said, this sucks, there's the door. And we lost it. We did not get it. And a church for everyone? I mean, our whole vision is a church for everyone, that someday we'll have a piece of property and a building that's big enough where people will see it. And just so they'll do this, they'll go, there's that place that people talk about. There's that place. I went there one time, and I tell you, I experienced Jesus. I left there thinking, I think Jesus loves me. I mean, that's the whole vision here. And it includes children. We want to have a daycare where families can come and go, what is it about this place? Why do I always leave thinking Jesus loves me? And after school programs, I mean, there's like a vision out there. We have a promised land, and all of a sudden we just hit our Jordan, just, whoop, you will never get this place. And I got discouraged. I was like, after all that? You know, and you know, God said, keep going. That's all I got from him. I was like, he says, keep going. And it's, you know, you're taking your steps. You're like, keep going. It's like, Lord. So about 3 months ago, maybe a little longer, we had a bunch of guys over to the house and we were talking. It was just the guys. I said, what do you think it is? What needs to happen? And all of them in agreement said, listen, I don't think we're ever going to get over the hump until we get a building, because people around, my friends and stuff, they're not going to go to a church that meet in a public place. They just think it's too weird. So we're here, and we thought this was great. This is what God gave us. And we're moving along, and they just said to us, they said, hey, in our culture, because we're new here, we're the foreigners, and so I'm listening all ears. I'm like, what do you think? And they said, it's just not going to happen, Rob. We got to get our own place. And so that's when I realized I kind of trailed off a little bit. Because sometimes, you know, when you come smack dab into your own Jordan River, you're like, I think it's halftime. You know, I'm going to take a breath. I don't think I'm going to be able to. And so we just trailed off. I trailed off. It's my fault. And I'm sorry. I was just like, we're going to, I know, but last time I got my kick so hard, I'm just not going to, we're going to make this place work. And 3 months ago, I was praying very clearly. And it was like, they're right, Robin. You got to keep going. So we started to pray and fast. There was a small group of us. We started to pray and we started to fast, which means go without food. And so no more, like, no food. And we're praying and we're fasting. We're praying, we're fasting. We're searching. And a group of us one day went out to a piece of property not far from here. And please don't think this sounds odd, but we did this. We walked out there and we walked around this property praying, say, God, we know the bank owns this, but we really want to have this property someday. Come on, yay, God, do it. And, you know, one of those times that you're just walking around and it doesn't seem like anything happens. Sometimes when you pray, it does, but this one was just like, oh, okay. And as we were getting ready to leave, it almost felt like a flopper to me. I'm like, why did I bring everybody out here, man? I feel worse than when I got here. And all the, just a small, still voice, go back to that original building. And, you know, when you're on the low end of it, you're like, whatever, God. So we went back to the original building, and as we drove up and went up to the sidewalk, there was a lady walking up the sidewalk at the same time. I said, hey, what's up, girl? And she said, I mean, I didn't say that, but I was like, hello, ma'am. And so I ratcheted up my pastor side. Bless the Lord. How are you? No, I just said, hi, how are you? And she, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, I've come to lease this building. I said, really? What are you going to do? And she goes, we're going to put a daycare in here. And at first, I was like, wow, a daycare. And it didn't discourage me at all. The first thought I had, and this is the honest truth, I was like, I wonder if we're about to get another opportunity. It was like Joshua. She's coming around again. God, I mean, what's the chances? So I called her later that week. We talked on the phone. I said, hey, we're a church. We're trying to get this building ourselves, and it's a handful. The owner's really hard to work with. I said, what would you think of a partnership? What would you think if we went in together and we went after this building? And she was like totally, completely, I mean, she said, I would love to do that. She was so excited for the partnership. I mean, she was all about it. So off we went. And she starts working with the owner, and we work it out, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we'll be able to have the building on the days we need it, and she'll have the building that she needs it, and we'll have a building. It's all going to be awesome, and it's all coming together. It's going to be perfect. And so as we go along a little bit, we start thinking when we're going to be in there and how are things going to go, and it gets closer and closer. So remember the story. You're with the ark, and here you come. The steps are coming. I'm going, but the papers aren't signed yet, God. The papers aren't signed. There's no lease yet. Keep going. And you start feeling your feet start getting heavy, like, I don't see the water changing, God. And if you remember the story, the miracle didn't happen until they put their foot in the water. It didn't change at all until they took the step. So here we go. And last Friday, they're going to sign all the papers. And I'm thinking in my mind, that's the step. So the original plan was to we're going to surprise all you guys. We weren't even supposed to meet here today at all. We're going to get the papers signed. We're going to send emails out and phone calls and Facebook and, yay, God, look what he did. And we're all going to meet over at the other building. And then, you know, you see your flyers? Look at your flyers there. We got those flyers. Pull those out, those little mailers that we send out to the community. Look at those. Those are nice. And there's a team of people to put them together. The dude that was up here earlier doing the announcements, he's like our guy. And so we got these things going. We're like, this is going to be awesome. Now, here was the problem. 3 weeks before any of this happened, we had to make a decision. Are we going to put the address of this place right here and invite everybody? Or are we going to put the address of the new building? We have no papers. There's no lease. There's nothing. There's no guarantees. We have to decide. And God says, put the address of the new building. I'm like, I don't see the water changing, Lord. I don't got any lease papers signed. But we decided to put the address of the new facility. So we paid the money, had them printed. They get delivered. And it's not this address. We've invited everybody to come to the other place. And then it comes together. They're going to sign the papers on Friday. I'm thinking, man, you're awesome. This is going to be totally cool. But the river hasn't changed, Lord, yet. The river hasn't changed. But the river hasn't changed. And then I get the call Friday afternoon from this girl that's our partner. And she tells me, they decided not to do the meeting today. They're postponing it until Monday. And I won't even describe the words that went through my mind because they're sailor words. I'm like, what the? It's like, what now, God? And clear as a bee, he said, this is the way I wanted it. I didn't want you to move this Sunday. It's next Sunday. And I'm like, but God, I had the service all planned out, and I had the talk all planned out. I was going to be awesome. This is the way I wanted it. It was going to be next Sunday. And here's why. I misjudged the step. See, there was a small group of us that took steps, lots of them. We prayed and we fasted and we talked to a stranger and we formed a partnership and we put a lot of money on the line and we made a flyer with all these addresses. And my plan was to go to the new building and tell you all about it so you'd be so encouraged and look what God did. We took all these steps and it never occurred to me that God wanted you to take a step too. So your faith would grow for the future that he has for you. It's not just a church. It's your future. So now we're all in it. Because there's no guarantee about Monday. But the flyer has the other address on it. And we've told everybody, we're meeting there next Sunday. Now, I'm not a complete idiot. I didn't mail the flyer yet. But it needs to be mailed on Wednesday. And we need that owner to say yes. And here's how we all take the step together. Here's where we are, church. Here's where we are. We're right here. We're right here. We're right as the foot hovered over the water. And everybody's just watching going, is it going to happen, God, or not? And honestly, guys, if I would have wrote it, we wouldn't even be in this room right now. But I don't write it. He does. And the way we all take the step is to pray. Just pray. The owner's name is Michael. Pray nice prayers. Just pray God makes him. He signs those papers on Monday so we can meet there next Sunday. I'll keep everybody in the loop because we're all taking the step because faith is doing what God said. Now, the second thing in your notes is remember my past steps. Now, I know that in the story, they went back in, they took the stones out of the river after the miracle was done. I understand that. That's how they built their memorial. But here's what I'm saying. This is your stone today. And I wanted everybody to have one. And don't give this one away. If you want to give one away, then there's lots you can grab. But this, we planned this series because we know lots of people that don't go to church, that are far from God, they'll come to talks like this. And listen, if you're not married, don't worry about it because I throw gobs and gobs of stuff in. You'll get a lot, I promise. So it's not just going to be about married stuff. But this is your stone. Because when we're there next Sunday with the people that come, and when we're in that spot, and knowing that we took the step, you're going to have a memorial. that you can put anywhere you want in your house. You can frame it, put it anywhere. And when God takes you towards the future that he has planned for you, and you start to wonder if it's ever going to happen, you'll be able to look at this and go, that's the God I serve. That's the God right there. Before any of it happened, before the water even rippled, I remember. That'll be your stone. Now here's the bottom line, and here's what Joshua says to close it. At the end, he says about God, he did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. And here's the fill-in. It's not my power, it's God's power. And that's what this mailer will mean. It'll be a stone for you to stack up. It'll be your memorial.